Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, well, you snuck up on me tonight, I see. You did catch me by surprise, but I am coming off of a cold, so I can't say I'm surprised. It is that time of the year where the unfortunate pollen of spring season is around, and it unfortunately got to me, pulling me off quite the path that I'm used to, but that's okay, you're here now. Now, unfortunately, my dear Robert is out today, also not quite feeling up to the task, but that's okay, we will have a bit of fun ourselves, if you would just follow me into the drawing room. Now, Margaret, the old hag, did do a beautiful job of creating us some cookies. I can't promise that they aren't laced with a little belladonna. After all, this is the season still of love and, well, luck as we are approaching. So if you are feeling up to taking it and trying your hand at a little bit of luck, then do feel free to give them a try. Though I cannot promise that they will be the safest. Now, if you wouldn't mind me, we do need to once more talk about the wonderful books that are hidden within our shelves. They are always brought to us by this beautiful group of poets on our poetry.com, and it does allow us to continue to give you these shows. So if you are feeling up for it, and if you are looking to help support our library and keep these books full and these shelves growing, then do feel free to check out these beautiful anthologies that we have. You can always purchase a copy of your own, though if you try and take them from my shelves, well, you might not be leaving. They most certainly won't. So with that, tonight we are going to crack open Volume 2 of our new listening room. We'll be looking at the items of love. Now, the unfortunate thing about love is it's not always quite what we'd hoped. Sometimes it's wonderful, other times it's heartbreaking, and sometimes it ensures rage and death and all those delightful things. But we'll get into that as we continue along with our story. So with that, let's see. Perhaps we can consult with the crystal ball. Well, unfortunately, I don't think the crystal ball is working quite yet. But hopefully it will be up soon. For now, we'll take a read. So with that, I'm going to start with one of our poets named Dammit Dave, who's brought us a delightful piece called Pizza a Love, a cheesy love story and love poem. Most definitely one of those delightful things. And it goes like this. If my love was a pizza, I would make the thickest crust. To hold the passions that I have, I'd make it quite robust. I'd add the sauce of honesty, its flavors would come through. My heart would be the cheese because it always melts for you. I would omit the onions, as I always strive to try, to ever make you happy and never make you cry. I'd add some zesty sausage, pepperoni, and some mushrooms for my growing love, tomatoes finely diced. Then I would place it in a box, deliver it for free, and offer you a slice in hopes you hunger just for me. You know, I do find love quite distasteful at times, you know, depending on the company, of course. Lust is always a little bit more flavorful, but what is delightful about this is it does remind us that love can be a feast, and that is what provides us tonight our tales, is that feast of love and all its various flavors. And so with that, I will remind us to move on to number 2 of the pieces that we will be reading from our lovely book tonight, which is entitled Love by Randy G. And it goes like this. Love that emotional treasure that can seem so elusive, and yet once it's found can become clingy and intrusive. It always starts out beautifully and feeling very authentic, but suddenly, without warning, can appear schizophrenic. Love eulogized in song and poem throughout the ages, debated and theorized among philosophers and sages, the subject of countless tales that permeates our history, studied quiet thoroughly, yet still it remains a mystery. Love, that warm and fuzzy feeling to which we aspire, can very easily be counterfeited by unscrupulous liars. As too many lovelorn souls have ultimately found out, seeking for love, refreshing rain, and to end their drought. Love, despite all these negatives, is still highly sought, because true love is priceless and cannot be bought. Immortalized on Valentine's Day with candy and dove, a heart wants what it wants, and what it wants is love. Oh, so delightful. We are getting some messages through some of the looking glass, asking where Mr. Robert, or Master M, is tonight, and as mentioned, he is feeling quite under the weather. I may have worn him out a bit with our own ideas of love or lust, as you will, but that is fine, that is fine. We will still have our own party here as we delve into this delightful book. You will have to forgive my momentary cough as I try to fight off this most delightful cold. Unfortunately, he did keep me warm, so I healed up faster than I anticipated. But, you know, next time, perhaps I can linger a little longer and allow me to be a little more ragged. But that is quite well. Just as this poem reminds us how it is quite well, how love can make us feel schizophrenic in so many ways. It warms our cockles, and yet it can do quite magical things to our perception of reality, much like the library. Do be careful as you continue to wander our books, though. Careful to not fall in love with some of their pages, especially those in our restricted section. Mr. Dan DeShino had an unfortunate stay upon our shelf, all because he decided to read one of our books that he was not supposed to be touching. So with that, and that gentle reminder, let's go on to our next poem called But Duty Yet Calls by a dark genius, the third. Of course, with no of none of the ghosts playing along with my games, I too shall take this for a read. But Duty Yet Calls by Doc Genius III. No rhymester romantic is duty-free, the reality of romance. At dawn to the alarm swift I rise, the suit of armor don, the helmet bare, the situation dire analyze. Then straight the dragon in the lair yet dare, as from the sheath I draw and wield the brush, till spick and span my lovers can I flush. A dedication of respect for the true Romeo who does dishes in addition to toilets. A revolving Helios rhyme Menippean satire on each ordinary Juliet, full duped. February 2023, yet our Valentine's Day roses versus my very cleaned can. End poem. Well, I think there's quite a play on words here, a talk of a very clean toilet, and yet in many ways, love can be, well, quite frankly, shit. It can tear you down into the darkest parts, but it can also lift you up. And sometimes that expression of love is so simple in its acts of service, making sure that you clean the dirty Juliet instead of making her or him, whichever way your heart desires. But truly, it is a reminder that sometimes love is not exactly acts of words. And, well, I have to say, if someone were to remove my cobwebs, not any personally upon my being, unfortunately, but if anyone were to remove my cobwebs, it might not be taken so kindly. But I will always take a clean commode to make sure that at least the royal throne, if you will, is well taken care of. Such a delightful piece and a reminder that love does not always have to be cliche and yet can come in so many versatile ways. And so with that, we're going to explore another idea of love, an unrequited friend, perhaps. And this one's by Cedar Chapman. How deep must I fall to escape dark nights when I see only apparitions of you slip through my fingertips? The moon trusses me in her woven midnight tapestry. She whispers her voice and hovers above my pillow with your face inches above my lips. I reach to kiss you. You dissolve in her void and she chuckles as if I am yawn in her paw. Oh, how I long to catch your unwavering eyes, locked to mine with the same softness as when you gazed on those you fancy, or brush my nose against your skin to smell the vanilla jasmine of your silken skin. But I choke down every cell phone film reel, every telephone marathon, every pattering saline raindrop, chew off the arm that holds you at night, tear my areola and spit it out, its bloody sinew, on my white shag carpet. I am granite sandstone, rusted steel girders, unbreakable flesh, bone, dust, and gristle, winding in your whirlwind. I am a friend. Now this piece I do find quite delightful, can't you say? As you sit and eat the cookies from Margaret's wonderful cooking, it reminds us that sometimes we stare at the moon and those we wish do not pine back. Now, with that being said, I would caution you to stare out of windows at the moon from within this library as well. There are some ghosts that might enjoy helping you join them and might pine after you in ways that you do not anticipate. But nonetheless, it does remind us that love is hard at times because we are not able to have those which we desire the most, bearing through those moments where they see nothing more, no future with us as we would so hope. And so I must say that it is quite delightful to read something that is so heartbreaking, unrequited in its beauty. Yes, quite delightful. Well, now, I have heard through the grapevine, as we've been reading these delightful pieces, that a few of our friends themselves are coming through on the crystal ball. And so with that, I'm going to see if I might conjure up the majestic Stellina to read her own piece, this love. Let's see. Perhaps we can get her working. Yes. Yes, I think she's coming through now.
This love is not a dream, a golden fantasy, upon which the heart sprouts wings in throes of ecstasy, soaring loftily to the Elysian edge of bliss. Is a flaying of flesh from a whip's scourging kiss. 'Tis not a love pure, gentle and kind. 'Tis a love with unrelenting chains that bind. 'Tis the cruelly cold song of a strangled lark. 'Tis a sinister spectre that stalks in the dark. 'Tis a rabid, wayward wolf gorging its fill. 'Tis a poisonous potion, a bitter pill. 'Tis a conjurer's curse, a sorcerer's spell. 'Tis the ominous toll of a bell's death knell. 'Tis a martyr of melancholia, the slaughter of self. 'Tis the discarded dusty book upon the shelf. 'Tis a raging thirst which can ne'er be quenched. 'Tis torture, as from your barren breast your heart is wrenched. 'Tis the grave of the golden days of fall, when you are spurned by the one to whom you give your all.
How delightful, though I'm sure many would disagree, but it does seem that Miss Stelina has made her way into the dungeon. I do believe that is where I heard her voice calling from. Now, unfortunately, she may not be leaving there any soon, well, if Master M and myself might have our way. But then, of course, the ghosts might as well, having someone who heart yearns for love and yet is reminded of how love can kill. Yes, that would be ghost-worthy for more than a few creatures that we have wandering around our halls. But it is a beautiful reminder, too, of just how it pulls you in and how while it breathes life into you in so many ways, it too can tear you down. Such a delightfully dark, delicious thought. It is quite a beautiful reminder, and as always, I'm so glad that she was able to connect with us through the crystal ball, as I'm not sure that this would have been any sort of service coming from my measly voice at this hour. But for now, we shall move on to the next. I do believe I have a piece from a poet named Riviera, where they wrote, "Where the Wildflowers Grow." Now, I have to say, I have not gotten to read this piece just yet, but whenever I hear "Where the Anything Grows," I am reminded by the most delightful piece of "Where the Red Fern Grows." Now, I guess not many think that it would be delightful, but it does remind me of so many times running naked through the forest, wondering if I'm going to be felled by an axe. Oh, delightful memories. But that is quite fine. Quite fine indeed. This one, I'm sure, will be just as delightful. And so here I shall give it to read. "Where the Wildflowers Grew" by Riviera. Steeped in color, this night drowns in teal. It runs across my heart, rippling like the brook. You chose to dip toes in. Summer forgot age and laughed at our awkwardness. Was it proven that we drifted, unsent and unseen, letters written, thoughts I scribbled, toying with curls, tasting persimmon on lips. It was all stolen, touch, taste, baskets of orchid sweetness. We were oblong-shaped, trying to be liquid cool. Years tore apart yearning, our stream ran dry, baking, crust. Over rock, hot rocks tossed, ghostly shadows spark regret, memories of sweet madness searching for eyes still light with wild iris hues. End poem. So delightful. Yes, love can be like that. Sometimes it does not end with a dam. Sometimes it does not break like the branches of an old oak. Sometimes it merely dries up. It's an unfortunate thing that love is, not always leaving anger in its wake, as it is often thought to be the second side of a coin. Love and hate, rage. Sometimes it is just sadness. It's a delightful reminder of how love can impact us. But I do hear another little voice calling, so let us see if that is another friend of ours. I think we might be able to get Weaver on the phone. Let's see.
This is love. If love means kicks and slaps, coupled with a need for total dominance, enclosed in a fog of sadism and control, outwardly masquerading as normality. Piece by piece, who I am is being eroded. My personality inexorably replaced by fear. That dark, twisted part of him has engulfed who he was. An evil miasma roiled around him. But what happened last night has broken his hold. Being told he was to be a father unleashed hell as he gained consciousness to find an emptiness where there was life and heard my heartbreak. I'm in danger, but my best friend who never gave up on me is going to drive me out of town. No, I hear his key in the lock, he's back. How can I explain the suitcases? The door opens. He smiles. The knife behind my back feels good. When I say softly, "Welcome home," I can see fear unfold within his eyes.
Yes, that other side of the coin we talked about. That hate, the rage, the almost murderous intent. When you are driven to the brink of madness, all by the person who once said that they loved you. Sometimes love is not exactly what we imagine, coiled up in ideas given to us in books and literature, giving so many delectable ideas of what it can be in movies. Unfortunately, all that make-believe is not always quite real of what it is. It is a hard thing, a dangerous thing that plays on the edge of need and want and always asks the question, can I live without them? Sometimes for better, sometimes for worse. Delightfully dark and sinister intent, but of course so true with this volume two of love. Just a delightful piece written by the most fantastic weaver of dreams, who, I might say, seems to have woven some of my dreams. Well, now that we've gotten to enjoy her voice, I will unfortunately subject you to more of my raspy one, as I attempt to do some right by Zdenka Duchino. Now, as mentioned, a few months back, he did get stuck in a shelf. Unfortunately, he read one of those books that you're not supposed to touch. But it does seem that he has managed to either escape that confine, or he is at least writing and filling pages, perhaps through his own screams. Quite figured that part out yet. It does appear that we hear screams late at night coming from the forbidden section. But of course, I'm not going to risk my life a limb for finding out the wayward soul who managed to make their way in there. And nor will I send Robert in there either. So you will have to abide and forgive my voice as I read A Dove Escapes Eden's Fate. And in many ways, I do hope this is Dan's way of telling us that he has also escaped his unfortunate fate. All right, so this is by Daniel Duchino. O universe, how minuscule I feel, insignificant footsteps in the eternal march of mankind. I have come to understand the warning of temptation's fruit, but with sorrow, long after it has entombed my body in love and sadness, not only am I forever enraptured, but electrically aware of every other fruit-bearing tree planted on this earth. To be born into the living, nurturing mother's arms, and to be protected by a paternal warrior, only to be a fated orphan. To have children buried in a family plot, and true home lost forever. To grab root and grow into a nurturing tree that I once sheltered safely under in protective fetal position, and to watch the bird nest offspring fly into a distance, unreachable, protective love as an arm reaching for a star, through it all as a savior with jasmine petal touch, is the quantum one, the connection, the one who shows me the truest of bonds, the one who I saw fly and enticed me out of the nest. Today we have but one wing, one body entwined. And unlike the myriad lesser lovers of the world, whose destiny will break me into pieces and scatter them walking through paths I cannot follow, there is a true love that can be found in the beating hearts of those that can truly see what their hands may hold. And I hold my love's hand as we fly, time travelers in a world of broken clocks. Someday, one wing will break. I know not which one, but I do know a bird cannot survive if it cannot fly. And I do know angels only fly to the heavens when they have both their wings. You know, this reminds me of the howling wolves we hear at night. So many ways they have a mate bond, you know, and they seek their mate, blessed by their moon goddess. When one mate dies, the other often follows, and so when that unfortunate night happens, you hear their howling, much like that wing breaking, the need to have both sides of the soul to fly. It is a delightful piece that speaks of so much beautiful love and reminds us in so many ways the bond that is created by our lovers. It is beautiful, sickeningly so, I might say so myself, but truly beautiful in its words. He has truly been lucky to find the one who binds his soul, who holds his hand and lets him fly. Many of us perhaps have a different idea of how we like to be bound. If Robert were here, we would perhaps speak of such things and delight in the delirious effects of a little bit of bondage, but unfortunately, he is not, and so we will reminisce upon this piece by Dan. Beautiful imagery that reminds us of how we might need to seek love and how few are so lucky to find the one fated to them. Delightful. And with that, we're going to start reading of a piece by a Bill Schiller that's titled Start Your Engines. Now, in full truth, as this book was being bound, Bill offered me three pieces. Would you imagine that? Three pieces about love. Now, I myself am not able to write such delightful things, but he did manage to. And so we did pick, one of these out of the three. And so hopefully he will at least appreciate my choice of his to be joining upon these pages, but we shall see if he decides to wander his way down here. Otherwise, well, it will be in a book for when he chooses to come and visit and never leave. But that's another story. All right, Start Your Engines by Bill Schiller. Let us drive in and fasten from grasps of belts. Lest us drive in the dwell of desert roads unknown by Googled maps, hear the radio program to broadcast old romantic tunes. Let us steer into the sunset. Let us cruise below the moon. A car freed from the caravan can chart its own course. Our passage need not be approved by those deemed smarter. Our destination doesn't require another to endorse. Listen to hearts of this engine, hypnotized by its harmonic hum. Never mind lunatic hitchhikers that thumb their noses as we run. Our roads are open wide with no cars to pass. We have full tank of gas, and all we need is packed, driving beyond all tomorrows. Let us leave tonight. The tires are ready to roll to desired dream. Let us then adjust headlights from dim to heavens on high beam. End poem. A delightful piece, especially that of the hitchhikers. It does remind me, though, that if you are hoping to use Googled Maps or that magical thing that people use with their shiny screens, it unfortunately does not work in the late night library. So if you do come down here hoping to find your way out, I would say that you might want to not follow it. More than a few people have attempted to find a way out that way, and it has never worked well. But it is a reminder, too, of how love is like that. Sometimes we aren't quite sure the direction, and sometimes we have to follow our hearts, even against what other people think seems logical. It is a beautiful reminder that sometimes love can be just that, a moment in a world of your own, ignoring those that might want to thumb their way into your path or stop you with their hopes of draining your fuel. A reminder that in many ways it too lets us run free. It is both beautiful and dark and freeing and captures so many aspects of love that we often don't think about. So I'm so glad he let me pick up those three. Anyways, up next, we have one that's a little bit more spicy. Now, thankfully, Frank, or Poetic Picasso, as he likes to go by, tends to provide us a way to reach him once more through the glass ball. And so I'm going to catch this one and see if I can get him in here. Now, I will warn you, while we have some delectably dark pieces that we've read and perhaps some that are a little lighter in the idea of appreciating love, Frank often does tend to have a spiciness of fire to him. So if that is indeed the treat we are in for, do listen carefully so as you don't get burned. But if you do, as a reminder from those that happen to stumble in here at the last reading, we do have a delightful bog. Now, I would not recommend that you go swimming in the bog. There are creatures that do like to nibble at your toes and perhaps your limbs. And, well, they might not let you leave if you do more than stick a foot in. But if you do get a little warm and you need to cool off, do feel free to grab a little bog water, dip your toes in it. But just do be careful and don't go unsupervised or without a companion. Remember, these spicy treats often do require a friend, and so does their cooling off, especially around the late night library. Now, let's see if we can get him on the line.
My butterfly, open your wings and fly with me upon a flight of a lover's escapade. To endless fields of grape vineyards, beyond the broad hills of a countryside, fascinated by the radiant sunlight and a colorful array of monarch butterflies, then embark on the seasonal odyssey again, as they seek to reach their final destination. Sojourning in the rows of the olive trees, as the wind blows and softs the vines, the blue and wine grape flowers permeate the wonderful scent of nature's delights. The wind subsides to a mellifluous cadence with the gentle breeze of the calm nightfall, and bluebirds roost in the nearby boughs when the fireflies illuminate the dark sky. Where a rainbow at dawn will be awakened over the new horizon of the drifting clouds, witnessing the stunning metamorphosis of hundreds of butterflies coming out of their cocoons. My butterfly, will I call out, be with me till the mating season ends. In the poem.
Well, I don't think this one's going to require quite as much bog water as I was anticipating, but there is a beauty in it, I suppose, if you're into butterflies. Now, I personally would prefer to have a death's head hawk moth. They are quite beautiful creatures that have a most delightful little skull that sits on their back. But I could see the beauty of a butterfly emerging from its cocoon, a metamorphosis, as he says, in many ways of how love can transform us. I'm quite surprised, if I'm fully honest. This one actually might need me to eat some of Margaret's Belladonna cookies, just because it is not quite as spicy as I was expecting. But it is delectably delight and shows such a gentle love. In truth, it's rather refreshing to get to hear this from Frank. Sometimes the spice is nice, and sometimes it's a little bit nicer to have something more delicate. Delightful, truthfully. Although, like I said, death moths, maybe not butterflies. With that, we are going to read Love the Panchaea of All Diseases, which sounds just absolutely delightful, and it's by our poet, Dr. Human for Humanity. And it goes like this. Not necessarily that love will flow from my lover only, it may also glow from others also. Lover's gestures may be a lover's blow. Then, when we have to be comforted by other friends, those are only great who follow for me, never grill on me, and try to bandage my bleeding. As we are making a journey on this planet of green trees and blue skies guarding us against the above, these gestures can only be called love. End poem. Also another delightful piece. Though I have to say, it feels almost as if the title could have been a little bit misleading as we were reading along with it. It does remind us that though that love is fragile, and oftentimes while we seek what a lover may have, it is not always about the physical. There's a beauty in it of being able to be cared for, which is sometimes done by a lover and sometimes done by those who love us. I have been thankful and lucky enough to have a few that I trust almost as deeply as I do my own lover. Though he takes care of me, there are many others that come alongside to comfort and bandage my bleeding wounds. Sometimes caused in the dungeon and other times caused by life. But nonetheless, we are lucky when we find those who can care for us in such a way. And with that, I'm going to move on to this next piece by Teresa Streshnikov. And this one is called Past Fears of Love. I used to fear love till he came into my life. Can't wait until the day when I become your wife. He opened my eyes to a whole new world, full of happiness and grace. Always make sure he tries to keep a smile upon my face. My best friend he has come to be. He's the only man I ever see. Even in a world so cluttered, seems to make a way to make me feel as though I'm the most beautiful woman in the entire world. He is my one true love. He is my everything. And now until forever, for him my heart will sing. End poem. I have to say, this is such a delightful piece. Love is complex. And as we saw with Dan DeShino's piece, sometimes we are lucky enough to find the one who reflects our soul, who fills our life with more, our night. With a little bit more light from the moon and perhaps even a few clouds during the day to shield us from the ever-burning sun. If you are like me, I'm not too kind or desire to be in its rays too much. But there's a beauty in this, I think, truly, of all the pieces we've read tonight. This is such a gentle expression of what love can be, the way that we can have contentedness and gentleness in it. It is beautiful. And if by chance you two, when you wed, are looking for a place to stay, we do have plenty of rooms in the late night library. Now, again, you may want to lock your door. No, that might not work. There are a few visitors that don't care if the door is locked. They still find a way in. But if you're into voyeurism, that might not be a bad thing. Regardless, though, we do have a few rooms, and Margaret makes a wonderful feast, especially if I'm able to tell her in advance. Now, we may have to plan because her favorites are, frog legs, Rocky Mountain oysters, which don't Google that. If you are queasy, but we do have some delectable things. There are some fish in the bog, you might not want to eat those either, actually. So, well, if you'd like to stay, let me know. And I would be glad to get you in touch with Margaret to plan some meals of more than bog water, frog's legs, and, well, belladonna cookies. We will be happy to have you if you so chose to do that on your honeymoon. But nonetheless, I will digress. Let us go now to Average White Man, such a fitting name, and his piece that says, "The End of Life, but Not of Love." And we shall take this read. Now that I'm free to fall, but I don't want to fall at all. I am but a leaf quivering on the breeze, clinging to a branch of the past. My bird of song has flown, taken her flight for distant miles, leaving me with forgotten smiles. I know I am free to fall, but death awaits at the end of it all. I'm curling at the edges, rusty red turning to brown, yet still I desperately hold on to the hope I'll hear one final song. But you have unfurled your youthful feathers, leaving this chill for warmer weather. Yes, I am free to fall, and no one will stop me at all. The time has finally come. My words are almost done. Metaphor and simile have grown weary. Her beautiful song can no longer reach me. As my life dries out to a final whisper, my memory of her and its closing chapter. I am letting go, but no one will hear me when I fall. Weightlessly I'll spiral to join those who fell before me. Truth hung from those branches that have released me to the depths. Poetry flowed through my venules, trimmed along my aging blades, scribbled in my margins and dripped from the tip as the heavens opened, releasing their burden. It's just the rain again, calling out her name. It's just the torrents washing me away. Please, I beg you, take me back to the engorged leaves of yesterday. End poem. Now, this one does give me goosebumps. It reminds me of a sad, long-lost love, the hope of returning to the past, but alas, that is not something that we control. Some do get stuck in it, as you might find with some of our friends who reside permanently down here. But unfortunately, we are not able to change it, and so often when things happen, especially those that we are not able to change in advance, such as the loss of a loved one, perhaps through death, we are left to wait in the room until we might join them in the other. It is sad and yet beautiful in the way that it washes you along. A reminder that we're going to fall, that we are free to fall, and that one day we do. But even when we find that, it is not always what we wanted to be. It is not where we always wanted to end. But sometimes that is life, and that is all that we can have. So, beautiful, beautiful piece that he did share with us there. But I will not linger myself. I too will fall and move on to the next piece, which is Without You by Thomas T. And this one goes like this. Without you, I'd just be a falling star with no tail lighting the sky, a tiny dot in black heavens. Without you, I'd be a southbound train with no smokestack trails rising in the sky behind me. Without you, I'd have no music. I'd be still dancing all alone to no favorite song. Without you, I'd have no more memories, filling cracks and crevices in my mind and holes in my heart. Without you, I'd be no me. Oh, love is much like that. It leaves us in a state where we are cracked and whole, filled with holes, if you will. There's parts of us that it takes with us when it leaves, and parts of us that were not there before it had touched our lives. It is a thought-provoking piece, the way that love impacts us for good and for bad. The happiness and the pain, the memories, and the understanding that it does not all last. A beautiful piece, my friend. Thank you for sharing. Now, we have but two more pieces, so unfortunately our night is going to be a little brief, but there is always time to plan for the next one, so I will pause for a moment and say, do please be on the lookout for Volume 3. It's not quite certain what we will be looking at next. Perhaps we'll be looking at rebirth, but that is just an inkling thought. So if you have a piece that you would like to be bound in one of our books, do be on the lookout for that, and hopefully Robert, Master M, will be back with us next time. Not quite bogged down with some of the bad bog water that he drank, but, you know, thinking of it, it could have been the cookies. He was in the kitchen the other day, now that I think about it. I think I am going to have a word with him and Miss Margaret. Well, we may be finding a new cook. So, if you have a recipe for belladonna cookies, or perhaps something more than frog legs, do give me a call or wander on down here. You could be a keeper. And I assure you, it would be much nicer to stay here as you are, rather than perhaps as a ghost. But as we shall go on, this next piece is by Jenny Hunt, 2017, and it's called Nothing But You and Me in This Room Tonight. Time freezes as you enter the room, slowing down my breathing. I spot you on the other side, smiling flirtatiously, drawing you nearer. You come closer, winking at me playfully, taking me into the other room, touching me gracefully. I grow weak in the knees. I quiver to your tender kisses, to which you plant on my yearning neck, gently caressing my back, loving me so tenderly. Your love takes over all of my senses, getting me so high with naughty intentions. Time only stops for you and me, feeling as if under a spell we foxtrot and tango across the room, seductively we soar, holding on to me ever so tenderly. I can't resist your touch, intangible words being spoken but not heard, as we dance arm in arm, hand in hand, to the tune of our own music, locked in each other's eyes, nothing else in our sights except you and me. Oh, another piece that is sickeningly sweet. And it does remind me of a few of our guests that are here, waltzing along the halls, lost within their own world. Speaking of, there are a few volumes about other worlds, and maybe, just maybe, that's what we'll explore next. But it is a reminder of the way that we can be caught within the now, the what if, the will be. It's a beautiful thing that our mind plays and often allows our worlds, which are so great and so vast, to come down into a pinprick. Absolute delightful right, and most well done. Now, I do think that our final piece is going to be read through the glass ball. This one is by a poet named Naomi Sarah, and it's called Stranger in a Dark Room. Now, let's see if I can get her to come through. Naomi, Stranger. Are you with us?
In the dark room.
Yes, there she is.
I had tasted the rain. Clean, crisp, sweet, and refreshing. But this was a rainstorm. Unpredictable, riddled with surprises, messy and wet. Striking lightning splintered behind my eyes. Sweat and skin, hot harsh breath against my neck, gritted and raw. Thousands of petals on a roseberry bush bursting open, piercing my rib cage. My hidden self, an overturned umbrella. Water stagnant in its belly, rippling into motion. My old tattered skin stripped away, now clothed in the drenched, slithering odor of unbridled dalliance. the sweetness of warm apple pie and the mud still tingling on the tip of my tongue as toes sink into soft rolling sand and covered at low tide, strolling down that shore, finally home.
Home, the perfect place of love. Even after everything we've been through, it always accepts us. A familiarity that never quite leaves, because that is where we have sunk our roots, in that warm sand, as Naomi said. It is beautiful and yet hard to read, because it reminds us that in so many ways we are not always prepared for that which comes for us. Sometimes we think that a storm is going to roll over us because we are an umbrella, and yet then we find that we are toppled, unable to do our job, and instead of repelling the water, we become soaked in it, a holder of it, refusing to let that storm go even with its last drop. It is a beautiful piece, and yet it leaves me longing. Perhaps because Robert is not here with me tonight, and so perhaps this reading room does not feel so much like home. Feels a little lonely without the fire being lit in the corner. But next time I shall tell myself. Next time, and perhaps I shall go and check on him and make sure that he is well. Well, my darlings, I guess for now I'm going to close this old book. No, perhaps it's not as old as the rest. And now I will go and bid you adieu, hoping that as you find your way through the library and our dark forest back home, that you too are safe, that even if the day has left you tattered and left you feeling uncertain of your purpose, that you find the comforts of that home and those that you love, be them a human or otherwise. May they warm you each night, until you find your way back into this humble library, where perhaps we will find more delightful things to talk about, the dark, the mysterious, perhaps even things a little lighter in nature. But until then, thank you for joining tonight, my darlings. I bid you adieu.